Welcome to Add This to Your List, a podcast with three friends from different sides of the coast who love to talk about entertainment. I'm Fumi Simano, joined by my co-hosts, Mark J. Parker and Tom Chuba.
Hey, everyone.
We have big news. We are so excited to share. You guys, I just got the call literally right before we started this podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
We got renewed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, thank God.
I know.
We were going to be canceled.
Oh, thank God.
Right?
We get more money.
Oh, thank you, podcast gods.
Right? And guess who renewed us?
Next year, they better realize that our contracts are up.
I know.
So we're going to be like Desperate Housewives renegotiations.
Major.
Remember how horrible that was?
Major
they wanted $1 million per episode. So podcast world, be ready.
Let me tell you, we are going to renegotiate,
oh, yes.
Honey.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I mean, we have special guest stars. We don't even get compensated for them.
I know it. Like, we got big names. We are on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
what else
seriously.
Do these people need?
And actually, Tom, have we checked Rotten Tomatoes lately? Because since...
No, I have a calendar reminder to do it in November because that's when we discovered Fumi was on
okay.
there.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Hilarious.
Maybe you'll be on there.
So
we'll see.
Maybe.
Have I been updated recently?
No.
They gave up.
All right. Well, Tiff, I'm coming for you next season. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So today's episode, we're going to get into the Emmys. It was the, which number was it?
79?
71st.
Oh, 71st.
No, 71st.
Wow.
The 71st Emmys last night. And then we're going to get into our lists. And then we're going to talk... Ryan Murphy,
mm-hmm.
An American Horror Story, 1984.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's break down the Emmys. I'll start off by saying another year of decline, but it was like, up against a big football game. So, I don't know about the ratings. I think it's kind of a little unfair to say that
yeah.
it was the lowest rated in like years
really?
And years. And years, you know-
Especially what's going on with the Giants yeah. right now. They benched yeah. their main quarterback, and so everybody was super interested to see how their second string was going to do. So
wow, I didn't know any of that. I know not one thing about sports, guys. Like what you just said.
Eli Manning? You know that name,
I
right?
I know the name and the probably the face. So what, he's not
yeah,
on?
Yeah, they done benched him.
Oh.
Why?
Because it was about time. The Giants have sucked
old?
For a couple years now, so.
Huh. Oh, why won't he retire? Anyway, regardless.
Anyway,
Fleabag. I don't care.
Right.
Right.
Wrong podcast. This ain't ESPN.
Anyway,
right?
We have our own quarterback, and her name is Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah, she... yeah, I love that. I love that segue. She killed it.
Oh, wow.
I am so happy. I mean, for me, I'm just going to go off and say that Phoebe Waller-Bridge, baby. Yes, honey.
Yes. Looked
you
fantastic.
Take that actress.
And she won
yes.
at least, what?
Three awards
yes.
last night?
Uh-huh.
Two or three.
I think three. Actress in a comedy, beating out Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which, I mean, here's the thing. Overall, the competition in almost pretty much every category was like
totally.
Edge of my seat. But yeah, she won actress,
mm-hmm.
she won writing, the show won directing, mm-hmm. and then best comedy, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think Foom.
Amazon.
Amazon, you know, is probably like Phoebe, start coming up with ideas for season three in a couple years.
Well, I think people already asked her and she's like, nice try. I said I was done.
Wow.
And I mean, I don't know who's to say if she's not going to change her mind in a few years. She very well might
yeah.
be.
Uh-huh.
She might very well might, but it was so great. And you know, I screamed when Jodie Comer
oh
won
my God.
For killing it.
What a great. I don't
yeah,
even want to
I knew
say
you
surprise,
were at, I thought of you.
But that was such a great. She was surprised. She's so cute, and I thought of you,
Foom.
I know that was a great.
Yeah.
So many great winners. I'm blanking on his name, but the guy from When They See Us. I still haven't seen When They See Us. I must see that. But I was so
Jerome,
happy to see yeah, Jerome.
Jarrell.
Okay.
He's
Jerome,
actually
Jerome?
Dominican.
He's great. I have the whole list here. We can go through. The big ones, of course, Game of Thrones, drama, wah-wah, moving on. Oh,
Jerome is his name.
Jerome,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I have to say, with Game of Thrones winning best drama, if Pose had won,
oh.
it would have been, like, one of the best nights for
I
Emmy
know.
Surprises.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Unfortunately, they gave it to Game of Thrones. I don't know why, but whatever.
Especially because every...
It's crazy because fans of the show didn't love last season.
Every
So it's like, why? Why not give it to Pose? Like, you really had an opportunity
to, like, and I really
put yourself back on the map.
I thought Pose really honestly might have won because the night overall was very, like, gay. I don't know. We had Billy Porter. We had RuPaul, of course.
Loved
RuPaul's
his speech.
Drag Race. I don't know. We had such great women. I'm trying to think. Were there any other gays? I'm blanking now. But I don't know. The whole night to me just felt very, like, you know, not your standard. But Game of Thrones won, which is fine. It's the last one. Go for it.
Yeah.
Oh, and Tom Chernobyl won. They cleaned up a few
awards. I know.
Awards.
Limited series. I was very happy to see that.
That was a big winner. Yeah. Trying to see who else was a good one.
Your Patricia Arquette one.
Oh my God. Yes, yes, yes. I was sad.
And she had a very touching
speech.
She had
such a touching speech about her sister Alexis, who I Googled. I forgot that Alexis already passed away 3 years ago, but it was right around this time. So maybe she was...
Oh my God. Because I didn't actually get to see Alexis... Patricia's speech.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about Alexis and her death. She died from...
HIV
complications. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I totally forgot about that.
And it's interesting because Alexis got HIV. I was reading about it once she made the speech. It was really touching. Oh my gosh. Every speech Patricia Arquette does is gold. But yeah, I guess Alexis got HIV like back in 1987. And then... just hung on for a
while.
Amazing. And hung on for a while and obviously acted in various things. And then I guess the last few years, really sharp decline. So really sad.
Wow.
I know.
Did you guys like any other speeches?
Michelle Williams.
Oh my gosh.
Go
yes.
girl.
Michelle.
Go girl.
Great speech.
Go girl.
Yeah. That one specifically, I got to say, and I think we said this earlier in the year when the nominees came out. Best Actress in a Limited Series was maybe the toughest category because you had Amy Adams. I do feel bad for Sharp Objects because I love that show, but I think it came out too long ago. It got lost in the
Big
fold.
Little Lies is going to suffer the
yes.
same fate next
I don't,
year because of the
absolutely.
Timing.
Absolutely, and if HBO is smart, they will not schedule these big awards contenders in the summer because they'll get swallowed up. But Amy Adams, Patricia from Dannemora, we had Niecy Nash, we had Michelle Williams, and Michelle was awesome in Fosse Verdon, like we said. But her speech...
She deserved
it. Yeah, her speech was great, too, about equal pay. Because I forgot all about that movie with Mark Wahlberg that we talked about, right?
Yep.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yes,
where she was not paid equally,
And, of course, she bought Busy.
Oh, I know. But Busy's kind of annoying. I'm sorry.
I know.
Oh, God. But I also liked, real quick, some other surprise, like, nice surprises. Julia Garner from Ozark. She's great. She won Best Supporting Actress in a Drama Series. That was fun for me to see because I... like her a lot and basically everything she does.
I loved Jason Bateman's response to winning.
It
was so classic.
Yes.
When he won for Best Director,
yes.
He was just kind of like, oh.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I loved, I know, Tom, you had mentioned, I loved Billy Porter's speech. I thought it was so fantastic.
Yeah.
It was
so very moving.
Well delivered.
And that hat.
And that hat. I know that outfit, those heels, honey, please.
Oh, I know.
And then I loved... Alex Borstein.
Oh, she is.
She oh, yes.
She's the best. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I know.
That's crazy.
That was really nice. I know. That was very touching. And that was, like, early on in the night. That was, like, one of the very first awards.
First episode, one of the awards. Yeah.
Right.
Yep,
and
yep,
she's
yep.
so funny. And then to take that turn was really emotional. Oh, I just saw. This is the other gay person I was thinking of. Ben Whishaw. He won Supporting Actor in a Limited Series.
For a very English
yeah,
scandal.
I still haven't seen that, but
I like
love
that.
Him.
No, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's only 3 episodes. You could bang it out in, like, a
oh,
weekend.
Totally. Yeah. And it's gotten a lot of nominations. But I have to say, I was confused. Saturday Night Live was nominated for Variety Sketch Series, and then also something... Oh, maybe I got confused. I just thought, like, there was Sketch Series, and then there was Variety Series. Like, I just feel like there was, like, a lull there in the show.
I totally agree.
Right?
I totally
well, and then
agree
the actors
I know exactly
fall
what
into
saying.
Regular...
Yeah.
Yes. No, there was a stretch... where it was like Variety and then it was Sketch and then it was talk show late night Variety or something.
Yeah.
I don't even know. It was so confusing. Because I was watching with a friend and I was like, didn't they just give out this award?
Right. I was like, I thought I.
And this, what?
Yeah.
I was confused.
Yes.
It was weird.
It felt redundant, repetitive. I don't know. I was like, what? And here's the tough thing. Because obviously writing and directing, we already know, obviously you can't do anything without those two roles. But like, do we need to see the winners for writing and directing for every single thing on the televised show? I don't know.
I know. Well, here's the thing, too. Like, so the Oscars, I feel, got away with not having a host. And Howard Stern was saying this morning, too, and I was listening to him. He said he's not sure it worked so well with the Emmys without a host.
Oh.
Because, I don't know, he felt like that the flow was off. I didn't see it live because I was flying home from a business trip. So I caught up on all the speeches and everything online once I got home. So I didn't see the show in its entirety. How do you guys feel? Did it work without a host?
I mean,
did you notice a difference from the Oscars?
The show itself, I missed the first hour and a half of the show.
Okay.
But I went back and watched a little bit of it today, and it was a little weird. They had this person, something Lennon. I can't remember his first name.
Oh, yeah, Thomas Lennon. Yeah, what do you think about him?
Thomas Lennon. I didn't get it. I didn't like it.
See, I like him a lot, and I liked it, but what was weird, I don't know if it was our TV or something else, but what was weird was, I get it. He's like the commentator during when there are, you know, winners going up to the stage and then in and out of commercial breaks, right? But like his volume was the same level as the crowd cheering. So I could never really hear him clearly. I don't know if that was just my TV or if you guys also couldn't really make out what he was saying all the time.
No, I had a hard time understanding right. what he was saying. I kept asking, what did he just say? Right. So that didn't work for me.
Because some of the things actually were pretty funny if you could hear them, but I almost feel like Fox was lowering him more and more because they just were like, this isn't working? I don't know. That was weird. I actually didn't miss. I watched the whole thing. I started a little late, but I watched it from start to finish. I was happy to see for so many crazy awards and so many speeches and so many slow walks to the stage. It was only like 4 minutes over. It really.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It was not that long of a show. It was like exactly 3 hours and maybe like 3 or 4 minutes. And that was just Game of Thrones winning the very last award. But I didn't miss a host, but I have to say I loved so many of the presenter duos, whether it was Catherine O'Hara and Amy Poehler, or oh my gosh, Maya Rudolph and Ike Barinholtz, they were hilarious. Zendaya and RuPaul, that was a great couple. Even Jon Hamm and Naomi Watts, like I feel like they booked really good pairings together. So I never even really missed a host. You know, I just felt like
good.
All the celebs were perfectly matched and funny. They were actually funny. You know, even what's his name from New Girl, who I kind of forgot about, Max Greenfield, him and
you thought that was a good present, him and the girl that he presented.
No, he presented with Cedric the Entertainer, which at first I was like, huh?
Oh, because of the CBS show.
But then it worked, and I kind of miss Max or whatever his name is. I kind of miss him.
He's you could watch him on CBS.
Oh well, no, that's okay. Nah, I will watch Evil when it comes out later this week because now it's premiere week already, which is crazy.
I already like tonight.
I have to like catch up on all my premiere dates, but that's pretty much the only thing I'll watch on CBS right now. Sorry, Max.
So those were the Emmys, and we liked it. We didn't like it. It was a good show.
I liked it. I had a great time.
It was fine.
Like,
yeah,
bad about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
It's hard not to like a show when you have so much awesome, talented people. Like being nominated. I mean, like I was saying, that limited best actress category. I mean, Joey King from The Act. I mean, God, they all were so good. I'm like, I was stressed watching it because literally anyone could win and I'd be happy, except for Game of Thrones. Oh well.
It was nice and refreshing. And now that Game of Thrones is over, I cannot wait for next season.
Yeah, it frees up a lot of spots.
Nominated, and I'm ready for Euphoria to take all of them awards, baby.
Yeah, Zendaya and at least like maybe writing or directing, they're gonna get some noms for sure. But yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, speaking of, since they brought out the Game of Thrones cast and they brought out the Veep cast. But I feel like, weren't there other shows that ended this year? Oh, Big Bang Theory. Someone mentioned that there was no, like...
No, they had that whole weird, like...
It was like a weird montage.
It was like in memory of very few selected shows. I thought that was very odd.
Yeah, that was odd. I guess, some of them weren't available, so they were like, ooh, let's just quick do a little cut or something. But, like, Foom, can we just be real for a second? When?
Yeah.
Like, because this was our last chance, really... Could our Broad City girls not even get invited to the goddamn party? I mean, can these girls not even present one award? Like, what do they have to do to get recognition?
I mean, probably be on a show that's not on MTV.
On Comedy Central?
Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Such a shame because it was so funny.
Oh my God.
And so good.
It was good to see at least that touching but also funny moment from that show in one of the packages they did, but... I was like, where are Abby and Alana? They should be freaking hosting this thing. But
yeah,
I digress.
Totally.
Anyway.
Totally agree.
You know.
All right, cool. Now let's get into our list. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Mark, I'm going to pick you first because one of your lists is a mystery to me.
Oh, wow. Well, yes. I guess I should preface my list by saying it's sort of an odd little grab bag, but I'm embracing it. So I have two items this week, and the first is the brand new album, Charlie, by Charlie XCX. Just came out. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Was that the mystery, or is the other one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the mystery.
Who the fuck is that?
Wait, what?
Are you serious?
Wait.
No. Tom, you're kidding.
I thought that's why you were confused.
No, too. It was a mystery because he didn't write it down in our document.
Oh, it's in there.
Have no idea who that is.
Wait, Tom, you don't, I mean, she's been around for a long time. She did that song Fancy with Iggy Azalea. You know Charlie XCX. You just don't know that you know. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, wow. Well, unfortunately, yeah, she doesn't do country. So, but her latest album just came out on September 13th, earlier this month. I'm a big fan of Charlie. I've followed her for a while. This is her third studio album. So, yeah, Tom, she's been around. And I'm...
Who knew?
Everyone but you.
Nope, no idea. I'm looking at her.
Okay,
up.
Yeah.
Who knew? Everyone but you, the shade of it all.
But no, she's basically like, I would say at this point, she's only, I think, still in her late 20s, but she's definitely one of the more in-demand women in music, I'd say, right now.
And she's a phenomenal writer.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Even more so than you see her or than you hear her on songs.
Yes.
She's writing shit.
Oh, yeah, she's writing. She's involved in many songs. But so this album, she brings some great guests on. Troye Sivan from the song 1999. That's actually kind of old. That came out like at the beginning of this year. But it's on the album, still really fun, all about how they just want to go back to 1999. She has Lizzo, who is, of course, the woman of the year, I feel like. Lizzo is on a great song with Charlie XCX called Blame It On Your Love. She also has this great band singer. I'm not sure exactly, but I like her a lot. She's, I believe, French. Christine and the Queens on this really good song, Gone. Those are kind of the three big singles from the album. She also has Haim. I do like that girl band Haim because maybe I'm just a basic bitch that way, but they're on a song. It's not as good, but I do like Haim. But so anyway, all this to say, she's got some really good, solid guests on the album. I personally say add this to your list, but I will call it a cautious add. It might even be borderline one and done because for me, there are some songs I love on this album, and then there are some songs that are like Fumi's Cat, Going Crazy, Making Crazy Noises, lots of experimental sounds. Mm. So I could totally see if this is not for everyone. Normally, Charlie XCX is, of course, all about electronic kind of dance pop, alternative even. But this album, I'd say half of it is really going super electronic. Like, there's one song that's good called Shake It that literally is just... It's just the words shake it over and over and over again, but with different voice enhancements and different beats, and it's super wacky and weird, so I could totally see someone being like, this is annoying, I'm turning it off. But my favorite song on the whole album that I really urge everyone to listen to is this song called Official. It is a beautiful song. It's basically a line from it is, these are the things that make us official. It's all about remembering a first date. It's a relationship. It's kind of depressing. It's somber, but beautiful. It actually reminded me of music I listened to when I was living in Philly for a year, really depressed. So, but I say that in a good way. So don't run off scared. It's a beautiful song, and it's a little more subdued for her, but still has that cool electronic thing. To me, it's like a perfect song for like a movie or... I don't know, something. So at least check out the song Official. That's going to be something you're going to want to listen to. But I, like I said, I like it. I think it's good. She's got 15 songs on there. How can I forget? She also has a song with Kim Petras, who also is quickly becoming a popular gal in music. Tom, have you ever heard of Kim Petras?
Nope.
Wow, a trans singer, electronic.
What?
Shame on
you. Tom has never heard of someone who is trans.
Wow, who would have thought that
I
would be gayer
to be
than Tom?
Fair, I am our gay correspondent.
I mean, not tonight, apparently. Not tonight. Wow.
He said he's not a member of the full LGBTQ.
Oh, shade.
No, that is not community. What I said. That is not what I said.
Oh my God, wow. Okay, we're going to have to like write a press release after this episode to clear things up.
If only we could have such a controversy.
Well, it is season 3, baby. It is season 3. I've added this to your list. But no, Kim Petras, Tom, I guess you should add her to your list as well. Okay. She's a little on the fence for me. A lot of gays love her. Obviously, it's amazing that she is a trans woman taking pop electronic music by storm. She's just a little grating for me, but there is a song called Click that is good that Charlie XCX does with her. So yeah, like I said, lots of really great guests. So check this album out. It's a party. It's a party, except for a couple slower ballads like Official, like I mentioned. It's very upbeat. So, you know, check it out. I'd say add it to your list. The other thing I have on my list, wow, talk about a party, everyone. I watched the movie that came out earlier this year. I'm a little behind. I missed it in theaters. I think we all might have.
I did too.
I think we all
missed it. Yeah, I
haven't
seen it yet either.
Yes. Oh, okay, Tom, did you see it yet?
No, I think Fumi was in Europe. I was in Alaska.
Okay, and yeah, we all were busy.
You were,
okay,
like, in Maine.
Wow. So
yeah, we all missed
I'm
it.
I'm happy to be the first one to talk about the film of the year, Ma. So, everyone, Ma was a Blumhouse thriller that came out in May. It's now on digital and rental and all that stuff. I Redboxed it. Hey, Redbox, I'm coming for you. Starring the one and only Octavia Spencer, who I think everyone agrees is just the best, and we love her, and she friggin' goes for it. Movie not only stars Octavia, but I gotta tell you, I love me some Juliette Lewis, and she's in the movie far more than I thought. So you get a great doubleheader with Octavia and Juliette. I am saying add this to your list because, guys, it would be so sad if people did not watch this crazy, gonzo, bizarre, wild movie. This movie
is
so...
Is it scary? Is it not scary?
No, it's not scary. It's a thriller.
Okay.
It's definitely a thriller. It's definitely horrific. It's not scary. If anything, I laughed quite a lot. But I say that with love because it is good. I think if it was done by a good director. I mean, I guess The Help was good, but I don't really love Tate Taylor. I kind of thought this was an odd film for him to do, but he's best friends with Octavia, so, you know. But yeah, it's a thriller about this woman, Sue Ann Ellington, a.k.a. Ma. Call me Ma. Sue Ann is a vet tech, and she is very average, very, you know, keeps to herself, until she sees this group of teenagers, these group of high schoolers, trying to, in a very what-would-you-do situation, trying to get some adult to buy them alcohol at the liquor store. She immediately is like, no. But then she sees how, like, needy these kids are, and they really, you know, need her help, and she's happy to oblige. And all of a sudden, because Ma is obviously a little unhinged, she thinks she's part of the group. And then everything gets more intense and interesting and so wild. I did not expect Octavia to be doing what she does in this movie. I don't want to give anything away because, shockingly, I thought for sure this trailer gave every second of the movie away. You see, and none of this is a spoiler. It's all in the commercials that played all over TV. Someone gets run over. Someone's, like, getting their lips sewn shut. Someone's getting their face painted while they're, you know, unconscious. But shockingly, there's even more that was not given away. That is how crazy Ma is. It's like a Lifetime movie on steroids with Molly and, like, heroin and cocaine all in its system.
It sounds right up my alley.
Fumi, you will love it.
Is there a twist?
I mean, yeah, there are definitely some twists. There's no big, like, M. Night Shyamalan twist or anything crazy.
Okay, all right. So, okay.
But yeah, there are definitely twists. And, you know, I say all this, like I said, it's wild and wacky, and you will scream and laugh at the screen. But at its core, there is a very disturbing and sad backstory. And you'll learn all about that. But
I feel like I already know what the backstory is.
Ooh.
Let's not say. I'll see after.
Okay, we can talk offline because you might already have called it. We'll see. Yeah. But who else is in it? Luke Evans, who's a very attractive, you know, middle-aged gay man, I believe. He's in it. Missy
is
Pye.
He gay?
I think he's gay, or he's definitely least he's not straight. Check his Instagram. He's in a lot of Speedos, so I don't know. Is it like, is he foreign or is he gay? We don't know, but I think he's gay. Missy Pyle, who I like. You will see some other surprise faces that I'm not going to tell you a peep about that, but that was fun to see. But yeah, as the Tate Taylor said in the Blumhouse office, quote, "I want to do something really fucked up." And you know what? I think he succeeded. It's really crazy. I think, like I said, Foom, it's not scary. I think if they really wanted to work harder, they could have made it truly, like, shockingly disturbing. But it kind of just touches the surface. But yeah, have a good time with Ma. And once you see it, please text me, because we got to discuss different parts of that movie. I could write an essay all about that movie. So yeah, add it to your list.
Okay. Okay, so two ads for you. Mm-hmm. Tom, what is on your list this week?
All right, I've got two movies as well. Well, not as well, because Mark had one album, one movie. But I've got two movies on my list. I'm going to keep us in the horror realm. And I know you guys are itching to hear my thoughts on this. I'm going to start with It Chapter 2.
Yes.
We really don't need to give any synopsis, because everybody in this world probably saw It Chapter 1, and if they didn't, they're living under a rock, right? The movie made over $300 million at the box office. Lord knows what it did on rental and streaming afterwards.
Still to this day, I think highest, most successful R-rated movie ever, right? I think? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep, correct, uh-huh. correct. So Chapter 2 basically continues the story of this group, the Losers Club, right? A group of friends from Derry, Maine. Mm-hmm. And it flash forwards to when they're adults and they come back to Derry because Pennywise the Clown is still up to his nonsense, kidnapping and killing children all over the place. And they want to defeat this thing once and for all, right? That's the general gist of it.
Yeah.
The original It that was made in the 90s with Tim Curry, it's often very much lauded for part one because being scary, but then people really don't love part two because they say that the scare factor kind of went away. Mm-hmm. The clown becomes like this giant spider that really kind of loses steam, and it's just, for me, part two fell flat in the original. Was it a teleseries?
Yeah,
it mm-hmm. was, right? Two part, yeah,
it was a TV
so
movie. Yeah,
part two kind of fell flat, it just couldn't live up to the first one. Unfortunately, guys, I'm gonna say the same thing about Andre Muschietti's It Chapter 2.
Wow.
You didn't
I'm
like
gonna
it?
Say it's an okay to miss.
Oh!
Wow.
Yeah. Color me shocked.
Wow. So, Foom, yeah. you
Mark,
liked
have
it.
You seen it yet?
I tried to see it this weekend. I didn't give myself enough time to get to the movie theater, so I just turned around because it already started by the time I was halfway there. I want to see it, but guys, does it feel really long? You know, like, that's why
I didn't think so. Oh, no, I don't think the length is the
it's
problem.
It's just so long. I don't want to be in a movie theater for that long.
Well,
I know
disagree.
Foomy said she felt the length. I didn't think
felt
it felt long.
I felt it was long, but I also saw it late at night and I was tired.
Okay.
And two, I thought the movie was good, but it was disgusting. It's gross.
Oh,
the movie
it's
is gross.
Gross.
It's made my skin crawl a lot of times.
Wow.
Like, oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just found it to be very nauseous-making,
oh,
to be
wow.
quite frank and honest. It was a little too, like tapping into phobias I have. And
oh, shit. Oh,
gross,
God. Is it really bloody?
Nasty. No, it's not even the blood. It's just, like, it's disgusting. It's like sneezing on you or bugs. It's, like, that kind of shit.
Okay.
It's gross. It's disgusting. And so I really did not enjoy it. There was one scene I actually literally could not watch because I was just like, ugh, like, get me out of here. It was, ugh. But I did think that the movie was very long, but I expected that because the second It is a very long movie, the original as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the way that they kind of, like, modernized some storytelling, but also at the same time, like, I thought that the way that they did the adults kind of going to their own individual, I guess, instances with Pennywise was done really well. Even from the trailer when we all saw
the old
Jessica
lady.
Chastain's character and the old lady.
Yeah.
Even though we saw a lot of that in the trailer, I still thought it was pretty scary, like, watching it on screen. But yeah, it was a pretty decent movie. I mean, nothing like was really surprising or shocking. It was nothing very new. Like, I feel like you could tell what the how the movie was going to go. It pretty much followed the original.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would say that you could wait to see it at home.
Oh, okay. And Tom,
you might even enjoy it a little more.
Okay. And it sounds like, Tom, you agree. Don't rush to the theater?
Yeah, no, definitely okay. not. I wasn't impressed by the performances.
Oh.
I thought this movie relied heavily on CGI when the first one didn't, and it worked so much better when they just did regular old Pennywise as a clown, not turning into like little creatures coming out of an egg or having his head on top of a spider. It just the CGI just did not work for
me.
It's
funny you say that, Tom, because real quick, I finally watched Mama. From Ma to Mama. Uh-huh. Remember Mama with Jessica Chastain a few years ago? That was Andrew Muschietti, or however you say Muschietti, his name. Yep. And he loves CGI, because that movie was all CGI, and sometimes it worked, and sometimes it really did not, and it takes you so out of it. So I think he just is a CGI guy, and it's sort of a bummer.
One of the scenes that they did not do that I thought was one of the standout scenes of the original It 2 is when one of them... I forget which one. It might be Richie when he's in a library and balloons are popping in the library and the blood, the balloons are filled with blood and they're going all over people and the people are oblivious to it, right? Because it's not really happening. Right. It's just a hallucination that Pennywise is causing him. They didn't do that in this movie at all. Or if they did, I was either zoned out or sleeping.
Oh, God.
But Jeff missed it too. Wow. So I found that a bizarre decision because I think that is the standout scene from It, the original It 2.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just going to say, yeah, it's just, it's okay to miss.
Yeah, that's a bummer, but I've heard very mixed things, so that doesn't surprise me. Some people do like it, and some have told me it flat out sucks. So then you guys like the first part better?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, the kids were just great.
The kids really are great.
In the second one, the kids are just, they make the... It's just really nice to see them. Bill Hader, though, I will say this, shockingly, because you know how I said I don't like Bill Hader? I like him now because of this movie.
Really? So, okay, you didn't like him before? I love him, so I'm so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Tom, you didn't find him endearing in this movie?
No.
Shit.
And quite honestly, I'm ready to talk about my next item.
Okay, wow. He is moving on from It.
I just think it is old news and just not worth our airtime. I don't know. I know that sounds horrible, and I'm a huge horror fan, but it just it did not impress me.
All right,
we'll move on to your next one.
Second thing, we often say that we are not a Game of Thrones podcast. We are also, I believe I'm correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. We're also not a Downton Abbey podcast.
I tried.
Correct?
I tried a long time ago, and I couldn't get through the first couple episodes. So,
Fumi?
What?
Were you a Downton Abbey fan?
No.
Okay. Neither was I.
Oh.
However, my husband is a big Downton Abbey fan, and so we went to the sneak peek a couple, 2 weeks ago, two Thursdays ago, because he wanted to see it so badly, the movie Downton Abbey. And, guys, I'm going to say, add this to your list.
Okay.
Yeah, I really liked the Downton Abbey movie. I had zero interest in the show. Could give two fucks about what was going on in the show. But the movie does start with a little 10-minute catch-up for people who might be checking it out. And they do a good job summarizing everything that happened over 4 or 5 seasons. I thought it was well made. It is funny. Maggie Smith is definitely the standout in Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah.
The one-liners she gets are just incredible. Michelle Dockery is a really good actress. I fell in love with her in Godless, that Netflix miniseries that they did a couple years ago with Jeff Daniels. Mm-hmm. Thought she was excellent in that. She's really good in Downton Abbey. They do a gay subplot about what it was like to be a downstairs person, right? So Downton Abbey is basically upstairs, downstairs, right? Upstairs are the rich people who live in the house. Downstairs is all the maids and servants of the house. And it's how their lives intertwine together, living in this giant mansion in the 1930s. And so one of the servants is gay, and they explore what it was like to be gay back then and how you had to hide in secret and go to all these secret speakeasies and stuff. Thought that was super interesting. The cinematography is so good. It's just a really well-shot movie. It's vibrant. It's crisp. There's really cool camera angles, especially when they do the swooping angles around the the Abbey, castle, right outside with the sun coming up and everything. I thought it was enjoyable. Now, will I go back and watch the show? No, probably not. Was I lost? Was I lost not having seen the show? No, I was still able to thoroughly enjoy the 2-hour movie that they put together. Okay. The king and queen are coming to the Abbey, and so everybody's in a panic trying to get the castle, the palace, in good enough form for the royals to come stay. That's the plot. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and it picks up, you know, a couple years after where the series ended, apparently. Again, I wouldn't know, but I just, I thought it was very good. I'm happy that it made $32 million this past weekend at the box office.
Okay.
Good for the Downton Abbey fans and good for the creators in doing a movie right, because there's a lot of talk, right, of, like, taking TV shows and doing a movie version of it, right? The Sopranos is kind of doing it with the prequel that they have coming out next year. There's going to be a Breaking Bad movie on Netflix, apparently.
I think this leaves a really...
Yeah. Oh, is it good?
Oh, my God. The trailer that they showed during the Emmys. I screamed. I'm so excited.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I think this is a good blueprint of how to do it right, if you're going to take a TV show and kind of give, like, a movie to satisfy the fans who are screaming for it. Good job, Downton Abbey.
Okay. All right, so I'll go next. So, two things on my list. I've got one movie and one, like, miniseries on Netflix. First one I'll do is a miniseries on Netflix. Unbelievable is what it's called.
I hear it's fantastic.
And is it with the fabulous... I just love these women. Merritt Weaver and Toni Collette. I find them both so fantastic. They're just such good actresses.
And Caitlin Dever, the young girl.
Caitlin Dever, yep. She plays a young girl. So basically the premise behind Unbelievable is there is a rape by a young woman. And this is based on a true story. A rape of a young woman. Nobody believes her. Her own family doesn't believe her, friends. So she recants on this rape. Then years later, in another place, another town, rapist strikes again, and then the rapist strikes again in another town, and he's smart enough to realize that if you don't hit the same place, the same, like, jurisdiction twice, and you leave subtle differences in the rape, that police officers don't talk to each other, so you're more likely not to get caught. Wow. So Merritt Weaver attends to the rape of the actress Danielle McDonald. And that rape leads her to Toni Collette. Mm. And they start to talk, and his two detectives realize that they might be chasing after the same man. So that's sort of the premise behind this miniseries. Guys, it is an add it to your list. It is done so well. It's fantastic watching these two women, like, command and kind of, like, own this series. You feel so badly for Caitlin Dever's character. It just breaks your heart. But also at the same time, you guys know me, I have no patience for kind of, like, you know, like weak women, the way that weak women are written. That's a pet peeve of mine. And so she's also very much that. But I had to keep telling myself she's a victim of her circumstances. She was a foster child. And, you know, she had a very rough upbringing and a very rough life growing up. And so a lot of the things that she does and a lot of her actions are because of that. And I kept after reminding myself, because I didn't want to victimize her again. As she was victimized by her attacker, victimized by her family, her friends, and the police department that should have protected her. So it was done really well. It does take place in two different periods. So Caitlin's rape happens early on, and then we follow Merritt Weaver and Toni Collette's character.
Okay.
And you actually, I was surprised by when they finally mesh together, when they finally all come together, I was surprised by when that happened. But it's a great, 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 great show. Add it to your list. Check it out. Give these women some support. It's just done really, really well.
So will there be a season two?
I don't think so. No, this is
it's a one and done. Mini series, limited series.
Yeah.
Who's better, Merritt Weaver or Toni Collette?
They're both, they complement each other so well.
Someone holds a gun to your head and says you have to choose.
Merritt Weaver gives more,
okay,
her passion and her drive to trying to catch this guy commands Toni Collette to be like, okay, girl, like, I got you. Like, we're going to get him. Like, but Merritt Weaver is, like, all about making sure that this man does not do us again.
Yeah, I only was able to see the first episode so far of Unbelievable, but oh my gosh, yeah, Foom, I cannot wait to watch more. It just, it makes you nauseous, and it's brilliant, yeah. And also, what an interesting role for, oh my gosh, why can't I think of her name? Hold on, I'm looking. Oh, what's her name? She's funny. Oh yeah, Bridget Everett. What an interesting role for her, yeah. Anyway, what's your next one?
So the next thing on my list is Hustlers.
Yeah.
J-Lo.
Oh my God.
Guys, add it to your list. This movie is fun.
Yes, fun it is.
With a capital F-U-N.
Did we all see it?
I am
but it's hard hitting too, Foom.
Huh?
It's hard hitting with its message too.
Wait,
I think
you see it?
I love that we all saw it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. We can all really just into it. Yeah, I loved it. I thought J-Lo, when we first see her on the screen, honey, I was looking at her like constantly was like, bitch, you better work that pole. Let me see that body. She is fire.
Her first scene seeing her on stage, we won't give anything away, but, you know, obviously when she is unveiled, it made me think of like seeing like Nicole Kidman in Moulin Rouge or like the big powerhouse star, you know, like Beyonce and Dreamgirls. I don't know, but
yeah, what a different role for her.
She was fantastic
just,
in every way,
killed
I thought.
It. She's so good. Yes. But so, Hustlers, basically, we follow Constance Wu. Constance Wu is the protagonist of this film, or antagonist, I guess, however you want to look at it. And she's going through a rough time. This movie takes place before the crash. A majority of this film takes place before the crash of 2008. And, you know, people were really successful and people were living up their lives and buying shit up. And she was going through a rough time. She had an elderly grandparent to take care of. And she said, like she said in the trailer, she just wants to make enough money to take care of her grandma and go shopping. So she's stripping.
Ain't that the truth?
That grandma was a cute little supporting character.
Yeah. And she's just not making the kind of money she hopes to make at a strip club. And so she meets Jennifer Lopez's character. And Jennifer Lopez is like, let me teach you some things. Let me teach you how to work the pole. Let me teach you how to give lap dances.
Let me teach you how to wear a fur coat. Which I was torn about because it's like, ugh, fur coats. But she wears it very well.
Right.
No, but she wore that shit.
But yeah, they become fast friends. And then they realize that they can make more money together just by teasing and pleasing the men. They don't have sex, which I thought was very interesting how clear they were that they did not have sex with customers. They did not give sexual favors to customers. But this was before 2008. Let me preface this again by saying that. Then the crash happened and shit turned left. And they got to do what they got to do to make that money. I'm not going to give away how they decide to make the money because, it's not just not necessarily about sex. With customers, but they come up with a clever manipulation scheme to get money from customers that they had. And Wall Street guys, who they weren't wrong when they said that these people stole from the American public and got away with it, so they didn't feel guilty about doing what they did.
That line that J-Lo says is very powerful, how she says these Wall Street guys, you know, stole from everyone and they're not in jail. So we're going to give them what they deserve, you know? So it's almost like the other side of Wolf of Wall Street, you know, it's like, those are all the guys playing around and do whatever they want. And now here are the women that have to deal with them. And what are they going to do?
It's so funny because, when this movie was being promoted, a lot of people were, automatically drawing comparisons to Magic Mike, but to your point, Mark, I think Wolf of Wall Street is a better comparison. This is like the female Wolf of Wall Street, not
and
the
you know
female
what?
Magic Mike.
No, this isn't like Magic Mike.
Maybe it's
all.
Kind of a mixture of all those things, because I felt like when I was watching the movie, I mean, I laughed out loud so much. I got emotional. Mm-hmm. I got a little teary-eyed. It's definitely thrilling and a little stressful for sure. It's like all different genres rolled into one, which is why I think this movie's going to be around for a while. Like, this will be in our memory for a long time as a very much a time capsule movie, you know?
Totally.
Yep. And I think Jennifer Lopez is going to get a Golden Globe. Oh, yeah, now. I think. I do.
Oh, okay. I can see that because people were talking about Oscars and I was like, I don't really get
that. I don't know about that. But Golden Globe and Critics' Choice?
Yeah. I think Globes, Critics' Choice. I think SAG Awards are going to be all over this. I hope this cast gets the best. Oh, I think.
Really?
You didn't think the performances were good enough? I thought.
Well, I was going to say, I thought Julia Stiles did a good job as a
Can we just give
Palmer, Lily Reinhart, they were great.
Can we give a little shout out to Julia Stiles? I have to say, I miss seeing her on the big screen. I'm ready for her to return. Yeah. I thought she was great.
Welcome
Kiki
back,
Kiki Palmer actually was not annoying. Usually I find her so annoying, and she actually was.
Oh, I love Kiki Palmer. Are you serious? She's so funny.
But she not always, but this time, perfect. And Lily Reinhart, my girl Betty from Riverdale, loved it. The whole cast, Cardi B. I mean, I think this whole ensemble
should be nominated
for a SAG Award. And honestly, I'm okay with it getting some Oscar noms because I just felt like this movie, this was one of those rare true story movies where actually from start to finish, it is totally fascinating, enthralling. You're living, you're like
original.
Living on this high with them. You're on the ride with them, you know? And
And can we talk about the music? Hearing those throwback songs. What? Yeah.
The music.
So much
and
fun.
Real quick,
so
speaking of the sound, I have to say, not only was the music awesome, these great songs, and I like that we didn't really hear songs from J-Lo or Lizzo or Cardi B. It's all other great songs. But also, the use or the lack of sound in some scenes was very artfully done and like really added, you know, because some things that are more intense, the sound kind of goes out. You'll see. But I thought it was just very well made. Bravo to the writer-director Lorraine something. I forget her last name. But she's also an actress in this great indie horror movie Coherence. So I love when someone like this is starting to really get on the map.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. Yes, I definitely agree. It was a great movie. And actually, did Will Fowler and Adam McKay do Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh. Did they produce
it?
Yeah,
I feel like
that's funny because they produced this.
Because they produce Hustlers.
Yeah. That's funny.
A great film. Now, we don't know if they produced Wolf of Wall Street.
I'll look it up.
It seems like a type of movie that
totally.
They would do. Okay, so just to recap, on our list, we had Charlie XCX. Which is a one and done.
Yeah, it's an add this to your list / borderline one and done. So, you know, whatever you want to, you know. It's not for everyone.
Mom, we had Hustlers, Unbelievable, and Downton Abbey.
Surprisingly.
Wow. And Tom says it's okay to miss It Chapter 2.
And what do you say, Foom? You say it's like...
And I say... Don't rush to the theater to see it. Just see it
it's
at
like
home.
It's not a priority. It's a... Yeah. Okay.
Right.
It looks like... Sorry, guys. It looks like Will Ferrell and Adam McKay did not produce Wolf of Wall Street.
So, okay. But it's a very... I can see their stamp on
it. It's like
on
The Big Short. It's like Vice a little bit.
Yes.
You know? It's like the comical crime drama.
Absolutely. You know? So we are going to now get into a discussion about Ryan Murphy, an American Horror Story. Have we all had a chance to watch?
We did.
Who wants to go first? I'm going to save my thoughts until after. Tom, what'd you think?
Sure, I'll start. I fucking loved it. I thought everything about that hour was perfection. I thought it hit every point of 1980s slashers. I love the way it shot. I love the costumes. I love the music. I even was here for Gus Kenworthy. He did okay with the lines that
Are
he had.
Are you sure, Tom?
I don't love his wig, but no, I didn't think he was awful. The gore, I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. The opening scene literally freaked me out. Literally freaked me out. I was staying in a resort in South Carolina, and it's kind of in the boonies. It's in low country, right? So it's like on marshes and stuff.
Ooh.
Very similar to a lake.
Okay.
And I was on the first floor of the resort, and so I had a sliding door into my room.
Oh, boy.
So I was very creeped out after watching this.
You were looking at that door.
I sure was. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't see anything, so I was real spooked out. But no, I honestly am here for it. I think it's exciting. I love their nods to I Know What You Did Last Summer. Mm-hmm. Very, very obvious nods to I Know What You Did Last Summer and Halloween. scene. There's a scene that literally feels like it's ripped from Halloween.
Which one?
Mitch, when they go to the insane asylum.
Oh my God, yes, Tom, exactly.
Yes.
Like, literally.
And Mitch Pileggi.
Yes, I can't believe I forgot that, yeah.
Yep, and Mitch Pileggi Skinner from the X-Files is, like, kind of like the Dr. Loomis.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And how all the people are just wandering, all the escapees are, yes, exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Emma Roberts is given, good work, because she's not playing her annoying Madison-esque type character that
she
plays.
Did she sound different to you guys? Like, the cadence of her voice sounded even different?
Yeah, I think it's on purpose.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't just me.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I'm excited to learn more. I'm a little nervous that I can't imagine that they're going to do 10 episodes. I think we're going to get some kind of Roanoke-style twist.
Oh, I'm into that.
Halfway through this season, because there's just no way that they can do 10 hours of a slasher film. I mean, slasher films are, on average, 85 minutes, right? From dating all the way back to the 80s to present day. So there's not much material they can work with. But I'm excited to see what's in store.
Hmm. Mark, what were your thoughts?
So a lot of it, a lot of what Tom said, I agree with. You know, it was great to see great, you know, homages to other movies. Yes, Halloween, of course, Friday the 13th is written all over this. I Know What You Did Last Summer, hitting that guy. That actor, Lou Taylor Pucci, that I feel like his casting alone was kind of a little Easter egg because he's in, like, the Evil Dead remake. He's done his fair share of horror. I was not scared at all. I like the way it's shot. I love Emma Roberts so much. I have for a long time, but I don't know, seeing her in this. Yeah, you're right, Tom. Maybe because it's a little different than her normal bitchy characters that she does extremely well, but it's nice to see her kind of just play the straight girl, kind of how she was in Scream 4. Yeah, I really like her. Gus Kenworthy, I know he's getting a lot of flack because people think he can't play straight. I think that's bullshit. I think he can play straight. I just don't think he's an actor, which is what the three of us said a long time ago when he was announced. It was like, what? I mean, he throws those lines away and not in a good way. Like, he's just like, he's just very flat. I think he's trying to, I don't know. I don't know why he's cast other than, actually, I do know why he's cast. It's because he's in amazing shape and a good looking guy and he's gay. I love that Ryan Murphy gives gay and trans people jobs, but it's just getting to a point where they really don't fit the character at all. So
what did you think of Angelica Ross?
I like her. I think she's great. I like her. I don't really, I mean, it's the '80s. I don't really know. It feels, I don't know, something about it.
Well,
what were you gonna
say? It's funny because I said to Jeff that it's clear that Leslie Grossman and Angelica Ross's role were written for Sarah Paulson and Adina Porter in case they wanted to come back.
Oh my God, that's funny. Yes, actually, that's a great.
I can totally see that.
Yes,
absolutely.
Wow.
Right,
Tom,
right.
I can see that exactly. And it is weird. Are we really not going to have Sarah Paulson or Evan Peters on this season?
Well, mm-mm. Sarah Paulson
and
is
Adina
busy.
Porter either, who's been on since season
she's
5.
On the other show. I don't know, guys. I didn't like it. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I was expecting something else. I totally got the homage to, like, the 1980s slasher movies.
Yes.
But,
like, we've seen all that. So it's weird. It's like, if you're not going to spoof it, you got to, in episode 2, you got to really now take everything you've laid out and switch it. Right?
So I'm thinking, because we talked about, what was the last season of American Horror Story called?
Apocalypse.
We talked about Apocalypse and how
didn't finish it.
You didn't finish it, but Tom and I stuck with it, and we ended up hating it at first, but then really liking it.
Yeah, yep. Maybe I should watch it.
So I'm going to try to stick with it. I think that this might be Apocalypse, or this just may be a hotel, and it just may suck throughout the whole season.
Oh, my God.
But
I hope it's
no,
not a hotel.
I think there's a reason why he's choosing the year 1984 as well, too, and I think that's going to play into it heavily.
Do you guys want to hear my theory?
What is it?
You want to hear my theory? I am hoping copyright, FX, if you like this idea, like, let's talk. I am hoping that the actual scary twist is not this slasher, who is scary, cutting ears off, all that stuff. It's actually either Leslie Grossman or someone with her, because she says that this camp is a Christian camp, right? It's a it's a religious camp. That, to me, it's like, oh, that's scary. All these, like, L.A. people don't realize that they're actually part of a weird, creepy, culty,
cult?
Catholic camp. That's like a conversion camp, and now they are doing bad things to kids, or kids are doing bad things to them. That, to me, would be scary. But also, I just remembered, do we actually have any gay characters on this show?
Not yet.
No, we don't know yet.
Okay. So yeah, I wonder if people will kind of come out of the closet a little bit, and then all of a sudden Leslie Grossman's going to now do stuff to them. That might be, and especially like you said, Tom, 80s, obviously fear of gays and AIDS and all that. Yeah.
Interesting theory. Yeah. So, I mean, those are our thoughts on American Horror Story 1984. What do we think about Ryan Murphy as a whole? Because I personally would like to see season 10 be the last season for American Horror Story. I think 10 seasons, perfect way to end it. Let's
agreed. A whole decade. I think he should end it with season 10. He should tie it all up because all the seasons have been connected. He says the witches are coming back from Coven and Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I think season 10, it'll be a nice run. And we talk about Game of Thrones vacating a lot of Emmy spots next year. I bet those spots are going to go to The Politician.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. Guys, The Politician. I didn't realize. Did you see that awesome Emmys commercial for it? I didn't know Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Bette Midler and Judith Light.
Judith Light, I am here for it. It comes out this week. It's on Netflix.
Oh, my gosh.
This week,
so I know.
I am here for it. Are we getting all episodes at once?
I think so, because it's perfect. Netflix. I would assume we're getting all. But, like, what a friggin' cast. My God. And all the beautiful candy-colored ads are all throughout the subway in Times Square. And they're so distracting because everyone is so beautiful. You got Jessica Lange, Gwyneth Paltrow, Ben Platt, of course. I mean, that's going to be good. I hope it's good. It's Ryan Murphy, so you never can tell.
So do you think Ryan Murphy has found his groove now that he has Pose and The Politician?
Oh, I think he's been had his groove. I don't necessarily know if it's okay. It's fair to say found his groove. I think he definitely has had it. I just think that Ryan Murphy, my issue with Ryan Murphy is this. He is a creative genius. He comes up with really, really interesting shows that are different and new and things that we haven't seen before. His problem is that he comes up with new ideas, and so the ones that he has and the other ideas he has just fall by the wayside. It happened with Nip Tuck. He didn't really get a chance to happen with Popular because it wasn't on as long. But it happens
Glee.
With American Horror
Glee.
Story, yeah. Glee. They're great ideas.
9-1-1.
Yeah, it's stuff that you don't ever see until, you know, he does it. But then it just becomes a little kooky and weird.
Even like Feud, right? Feud like, was good. What happened to season two? Like, everybody loved season one with Joan Crawford and Betty Davis.
He just got busy, I guess. Or he just got busy. I guess now he said he's going to do Diane and Prince Charles. I don't know. Yeah.
No, he shelved that. Like, he nixed that.
Wow.
I don't know.
And then American Crime Story. He was going to do. Right. Yeah. Well, the next one, it's going into production. It's going to be the Monica Lewinsky story.
Oh, that's right.
Which sounds good.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think his best shows are the ones he does not write, like Pose. I think if he's not writing the scripts and just strictly producing and sometimes directing them, those are the shows that are actually very strong, as we saw with Feud and American Crime Story. So, yeah, as long as he kind of is staying away from the dialogue and, like, you know, because Glee, you know, that really was all over the place. And sort of Nip Tuck was, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think The Politician is maybe his most... It at least in the visuals and the commercials, the trailers, it seems the most big budget, the most polished he's ever been. So,
and it's on Netflix, so it's probably more creative control. They're probably just going to be like, listen, dude, you signed this mega deal. We're just going to let you do whatever you want to do.
So if that's the case, I don't know if I'll like it. I don't know. I think he's good with some checks and balances, you know? I think Brad Falchuk, Gwyneth's husband, his producing partner, is probably the better, creator. I think he's probably, like, Ryan's right-hand man to, like, try to get all these ideas in an actual order, you know? But I actually disagree with you guys. I think American Horror Story could continue with a different showrunner. I think Ryan Murphy stays on for season 10. Then the whole show now is handed off to... I don't know, Guillermo del Toro or someone else. I don't know. And now it's a different version of American Horror Story. That could be kind of cool.
Wow, really? You could go for more seasons. Okay.
I mean, well, that's the beauty of an anthology. If you don't like the first couple episodes, just tune out.
Yeah.
But how interesting would it be for the whole theme of the show to just be switched over to a different set of hands, maybe a different universe, different cast of returning characters. We don't need to always see Emma Roberts and Sarah Paulson. You know, that could be kind of interesting. I don't know. I think it could keep going.
New stars. Yeah, totally.
You know, I think Ryan Murphy's hands could go elsewhere then after season 10. I do agree with you with that. Yeah.
All right. Well, That's our show. That's our episode for this week. We'll be back with more season 3.
Yes,
we will.
We want to thank everyone who helps contribute to our podcast, Jay, Allie, and Greg. Thank you guys so much. Follow us on our social media handles. You know what they be. Leave comments. Let us know what you want us to hear, what you think of our podcast.
Give us a little review.
Yeah. I mean, do we have to say that we'll give you guys money? We have none, but we'll try to give you a nickel or something.
Give you a nickel. Everyone who reviews gets 5 cents.
Like shit. But that's it. That's our show, and we'll be back next week.
All right.
Toodles.
Bye.
Bye.